The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 7, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on July 3rd, 2008, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
So today we are speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 7, text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parikshito tarajarsher Janma karma vilapanam Sangstang shapanduputranam Vakshe krishna katodayam. Translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, who is so kindly seated here today on His Vyasa Sana and blessing us with His Divine Presence. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Siddha Goswami thus addressed the rishis, headed by Shonaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of the Lord, Sri Krishna, and topics of the birth, activities, and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Purport. Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and takes part with them in daily activities. Any historical fact, old or new, which has a connection with the activities of the Lord is to be understood as a transcendental narration of the Lord. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas, the Mahabharata, are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a Purana. But the special significance of this Purana is that the activities of the Lord are central and not just supplementary historical facts. Srimad Bhagavatam is thus recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the spotless Purana. There is a class of less intelligent devotees of the Bhagavad Purana who desire to relish at once the activities of the Lord mentioned in the 10th canto without first understanding the primary cantos. They are under the false impression that the other cantos are not concerned with Krishna, and thus more foolishly than intelligently. How poetically Prabhupada is saying it. More foolishly than intelligently, they take to the reading of the 10th canto. These readers are specifically told herein that the other cantos of the Bhagavatam are as important as the 10th canto. Don't hold your knees in front of the deities. That's forbidden in the nectar devotion. One should not do that. No one should try to go into the matters of the 10th canto without having thoroughly understood the purport of the other 9 cantos. Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas, and the pure devotees like the Pandavas are not without Krishna. The devotees and the Lord are interlinked, and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or topics of the Lord. I'm going to read some refills in this water. Vandeham.
Guru. Shri Jata Badakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, Prabhupada is making a very poignant point, which is overlooked by the Sahajas, much to their detriment. That Krishna and his devotees are interlinked. You cannot separate Krishna from his devotees. They think, I only want to hear about Krishna in Vrindavan, you see. They're thinking that Krishna with the Pandavas is some inferior thing, less than the actual Krishna. This is a great mistake. Such persons may think they can artificially come to some, they may think they can come to some position of advanced Krishna consciousness, but they are deluding themselves. Simply deluding themselves. If one wants to actually realize Krishna, he must carefully proceed step by step to Krishna. Just like the etiquette in viewing the deity, the Archavigraha form, is you begin meditating on the feet, and then gradually you look at the knee, the waist, the chest, and then finally the beautiful smiling face of Shishi Gornitai, who have so kindly appeared here in Atlanta. So in the same way that one gradually proceeds to the lotus face of the Lord, in the same way, the first and second cantos of Bhagavatam, they are the two lotus feet of the Lord. In this way we gradually, step by step, proceed. So if one makes this very careful, gradual, step by step program, then you can actually become Krishna conscious. You can actually revive your eternal rasa with Krishna in Vrindavan. You see. But if you jump all of a sudden, like one lady we were preaching to in Alabama, she was a hippie girl who'd gone with some hippie boyfriend. They were having illicit sexual relations. They went to Radhakunda, and again they were having illicit sexual relations in Radhakunda also. And they met some Babaji who told them, well, he told her, you were such and such gopi in Krishna's pastimes. So between when she was having illicit sex and meditating which gopi she was in Krishna's lila. You see, this is called sahajism. And then one sannyasi initiated her, actually. Some sannyasi named Narayan Maharaj, she initiated her as a disciple. Such a qualified person. So, this is called sahajism. One who takes the bhakti path very cheaply. It doesn't want to follow the standard system given by the acharyas. But if you want to achieve the goal, you have to take the roadway to get there. You cannot invent your own pathway, you see. This is confirmed in the Vedic wisdom. Mahajano yena gatasa pantha. One must follow the pathway tread by the previous acharyas. If you try to blaze your own trail, you see, you will not make it. If you're lost in the wilderness, you see, you're dying of thirst, you're dying of hunger, you're barely even sustaining your life, trying to somehow find your way back to civilization, you see. And a great a personality comes who knows the pathway. Will you not follow him? He says, I know the way. Just come with me. I can show you exactly the pathway. You say, no. I will blaze my own trail out of the wilderness. You're already dying of thirst and hunger, and you want to blaze your own trail? What is that called? That's called insanity. So we must not be insane people, you see. We must not be insane fools. When there is a great Mahajana who is showing us the pathway, we should take that pathway. So the greatest Mahajana is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He is showing us in these wonderful, wonderful purports exactly what we need to know, and exactly what we need to do to get out of the quagmire of this material existence and regain our original, eternal, spiritual identities in the pastimes, that sweet, lovable, all-attractive, all-knowing, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all-famous, and all-wise personality of Godhead known as Sri Krishna. There's truly nothing more wonderful than this mercy that Prabhupada has given us. There's nothing like it. It is absolutely extraordinary mercy that Prabhupada is giving us. So we will understand the points of his purports. And we will try to model our lives after these purports. Then we become perfect. There are two Bhagavatams. We have a very nice shloka. Nashta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. We have two Bhagavats. Bhagavata Sevaya, serving the Bhagavatam, what does that mean? One is the book. That means every day read Bhagavatam. If you're here, if there's a Hare Krishna temple nearby, then attend the Bhagavatam class. Everybody who lives in this community, they should be here at the Bhagavatam class every day. It's not a free hotel. You see, temple is not a free hotel. Devotees who live in this community, they should be for Mangal Arti, they should be for Bhagavatam. This is the injunction. Nashta praeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Everyone who lives in this community here, they should all be here to hear the Bhagavatam. Unless they have to be at work or something like that. They have a bona fide excuse. But then they should read on their own. Every day, every devotee must study Bhagavatam. This is our pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Study Bhagavata Seva. Every day, study Bhagavatam. And what is the other form of Bhagavata Seva? To serve that person who is a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spiritual master. We see this quality in Srila Prabhupada more than anyone else, you see. He is a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. His every word, his every gesture, his very demeanor, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, is pure Bhagavatam. So by serving the spiritual master with love and devotion and faith, not seeing him as an ordinary person of this world, but seeing him as a living manifestation of Krishna. Prabhupada says, a walking Vishnu. In one purport, the spiritual master is a walking Vishnu. He's a walking temple. An advanced devotee does not require to go to Vrindavan. Prabhupada explains in his purport, an advanced devotee doesn't need to go to Vrindavan to become purified. Because he carries Vrindavan in his heart wherever he goes. Wherever he goes is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada explains that such advanced devotees, they go to the holy places to purify them. Because the holy places are visited by so many pilgrims who are full of sin, and they contaminate the atmosphere of the holy dham. So the advanced devotee, he goes there and purifies the holy place by his presence. Prabhupada explains like that. So, such great personalities, we see this especially in great personalities like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. They carry Vrindavan wherever they go, within their hearts. And if we connect with such great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, and those who are strictly following His pathway, you see, if we connect with those persons, and that's the whole meaning of ISKCON. ISKCON means a place where you can connect with persons who are strictly following the great Mahajanas. By connecting with those persons who are strictly following the pathway of the great Mahajanas, what happens to us? We also become great Mahajanas, you see. And then we can connect with other people with this pathway, you see. If you become strictly on this pathway, then you become a representative of the pathway. And by your preaching, by your distributing books, by your explaining, by your giving prasad, by your sharing the holy names of people, by you acting as a representative of this pathway, you also become Mahajana, a great person, great spiritual personality. So Prabhupada wanted there should be millions of Mahajanas in this movement, actually. You know, he said that in Mayapur. He said now, he was talking about Acharya. Mahajana, Acharya, same thing, same idea. A great spiritual leader, a powerful Krishna conscious leader. That is Mahajana, Acharya. So Prabhupada said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. And then we will grow to 1,000,000, and then to 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharya. So this is Prabhupada's vision for our movement, not that it's a bunch of neophytes who can't even get up from Mangalarti. He wanted a movement of persons who are actually great transcendentalists, powerful acharyas who can transform the face of this planet. This is Prabhupada's vision for this movement, you see. And you know what? Prabhupada's vision will not fail. Because Krishna always fulfilled the desires of his pure devotees. Ananyaschintayantomam ye jana paryupasate tesham nichabhiyuktam anonsli tesham nichabhiyuktam nam yogachemam vaham yaham. Yesterday, Gopal Krishna has mentioned the water gun for keeping devotees awake. I don't use water gun. If someone's nodding out, I just go like this. It works better than a water gun. I don't have to refill it. We all have the problem. I don't want to embarrass the devotee who's sleeping. We all have the problem. You know, the mode of ignorance is something we all have to deal with. So I'm just trying to be helpful. That's all. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. So don't take it in the wrong way. I'm just trying to be helpful. It's a service. I'm trying to help. That's all. So, you know, if I'm nodding out in class, I hope somebody will wake me up also, you know. So we can help each other to stay awake. It's called compassion. So anyway, the Krishna consciousness movement, that vision Prabhupada has, he had the vision, and he has the vision. Prabhupada is not dead and gone. In fact, we know that. You may know because it is a miracle we saw here in Atlanta. You may have been here. I don't know if you were here. But several years ago at Tapanihati Festival, this deity, Prabhupada deity, he showed that he's not a deity. Do you know that? Do you all know that? The deity here, Prabhupada, during the height of the noon arti, of the ecstatic kirtan during the Tapanihati Festival, Prabhupada sitting here is deity form. From the right eye, a nectarian tear of transcendental bliss flowed down his face out of his right eye. Prabhupada was so enlivened by the kirtan that he actually manifested a tear of ecstatic tear came out. Many of us saw the tear. Jayapataka Swami was here, he saw it. It was amazing. Everyone came and stood, and we saw the tear, distinct tear coming out of Prabhupada's right eye. You see. So Prabhupada is actually present for those who understand that he is present. And he is blessing us that we can all become great Mahajanas. We can all become great powerful acharyas, living embodiments of this Bhagavatam, if we simply seriously take up this pathway. Seriously take it up, that I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. I want to give up my so-called shelter in the lap of Maya. I mean, after all, what's she going to do anyway? She said, my dear boy, come lay your head in my lap. Nice boy. And then razor blade, slash our throat, you see. So anyone who actually realizes the difference between Maya and Krishna will realize that I just want to become a pure devotee. I don't want to even have 1%, even 0.00000000001% influence of the material energy in my heart. I don't want any of it. Kick it out with boot. I want none of it. You see? You understand? This is an intelligent person realizes, you see, I don't need any of this junk. Material attraction in my heart. It's simply robbing me of my happiness. It's all it's doing. It's robbing me of my happiness. So in this way, if we understand the desire of Srila Prabhupada, the desire of our spiritual masters, that we all become pure devotees of the Lord, become great acharyas, mahajanas, and we're all meant to become like that. Doesn't matter, I'm man, woman, black, white, it doesn't matter. This cuts through all bodily distinctions. Every single follower of this pathway is meant to become a great acharya, a great mahajana, a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we do like this, then our happiness will know no bounds. We'll be swimming in an ocean of nectar at every minute. The sweetest, juiciest, most relishable nectar, the ultimate gulab jamun. At every minute, we'll be relishing, you see. What is the ultimate gulab jamun? Krishna consciousness. Everyone knows that. You know that sweet gulab jamun? If there's any gulab jamun around, make sure to feed Bhakti Damien a gulab jamun, you see. So he knows what is gulab jamun. It's the ultimate sweet. Do you know what is gulab jamun? This Mataji here also, feed her a gulab jamun. This is the ultimate sweet. It's made with milk, and it's a golden ball. It's fried in ghee, and then it's soaked in the sugar water, and it soaks it all in. It becomes like pregnant with sugar water, you know. And when you bite into it, it's like an explosion of bliss in your mouth, you know. It's unbelievable. It's the ultimate experience of the tongue, gulab jamun. So that is Krishna consciousness, you see. Just imagine if you could be relishing the sweetest Mukhtarian gulab jamun at every second. You see, that is Krishna, that is pure bhakti. Ahaita kiya pratiyata yayatma supersediti. You see. If devotional service is uninterrupted, that means 24/7. You don't take any time off to go to some movies or watch some mundane sports on television. There's no breaks, you see. You're just totally absorbed in pure bhakti. You're totally satisfied. You don't need any of this nonsense, you know, bingo or checkers or chess. You don't need any of these diversions of the material nature. You know, the football game or the baseball game. You know, a Playboy magazine and porno or whatever kind of garbage they offer on the internet. You don't need any of that stuff. All you need, you're totally 100% satisfied with Krishna. That's all you need is Krishna. Actually, when you have Krishna, you have everything. You know why? Because Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. When you connect with Krishna, you are connected with everything. Talk about being online. That is the ultimate online. When you're connected with the Krishna net, Krishna's lotus feet, the net of Krishna's lotus feet, you see. And you're online with everything. You're online with the whole cosmos. And with the supercosmos also. There's the cosmos and the supercosmos. You're connected with the complete totality when you're connected with Krishna. You're really, really online when you're Krishna conscious. Then you're really online. So all you have to do is take shelter of the holy name. As His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj was so wonderfully and kindly explaining to us yesterday. It all boils down to the quality of our chanting. All boils down to the quality of our chanting, you see. If we focus on the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, by the power of those names, you see, we will be delivered into the transcendental spiritual sky, you see. Not one of these stupid nonsense airlines like American Airlines or this airlines. But this is Hare Krishna airline, you see. Fly Hare Krishna, it will get you there on time. You see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this being said, I can ask now if there's any questions. So everybody's completely satisfied. Yes, Prabhu? You were asking a question or just stretching?
Well, you said this movement should be 10 million acharyas. Is that going to take 10,000 years? Or?
Oh, how long will it take for 10 million acharyas?
Okay.
That was the question? Yes, that's up to us. It could take 10,000 years. At the speed we're going right now, it could take 10,000 years. But it could happen overnight also. It's really up to us. As I was telling Sikhi Pucha Dhari Prabhu, I get it right? I was telling Sikhi Pucha Dhari Prabhu this morning how Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one becomes a pure chanter of the holy names, chanting without any offense, then he becomes Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the entire world takes up chanting Krishna's name. So actually, if even one of us can become completely pure chanter of the holy name, the whole world can very quickly be inundated with Krishna Bhakti. What to speak of two of us, three of us, four of us, 100 of us, 1,000 of us, 500, 5,000 of us. Seriously take this up to become absolutely pure chanters of the holy name, Shudanam, manifested on our lips, you see. So it could take 10,000 years to get those 10 million acharyas. But it will happen. But it could happen in the next 10 years. In the next 10 days even it could happen. That's up to us. How much are we going to purely follow this pathway? That's up to you. How purely are you willing to follow? Are you willing to take up pure bhakti without any other consideration? No jnana, no karma, no yoga. All material desire is zero. You see? Are you ready to do that right now? To make that solid commitment? You see? That's the question. I'm not going to ask you to answer it, but that's the point. Yes. The translation one more time. Suta Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Shonaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of the Lord Sri Krishna and topics of the birth, activities, and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu.
I heard like that you talk about Narayana Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard like that he was very close to Prabhupada, and like Prabhupada, when he passed away, that time before passed away, he actually called some of his disciples that if he do the ceremonies, no?
He had some knowledge of the traditional Vaishnava ceremonies. That, yeah, that's it.
Then later on, like
the rituals. Yeah.
Yeah. This I would like to tell you that if somebody is taking initiation from bona fide spiritual master.
Yes.
And again, if he is following all rules and regulations.
Yes. Yes.
And if he like to take initiation from other guru, then it's okay. Or
well, one thing we have to see is that there's no acharya more empowered and more merciful than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. That's a fact. There was no follower of Bhakti Siddhanta who... And there's Prabhupada is the one follower of Bhakti Siddhanta who has the full Shakti of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. We don't see that Shakti in anyone else. He's the only one who has the full Shakti of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. They, the other God brothers, they did not have the vision. We see they were envious of Srila Prabhupada. And we see even now this sannyasi you're mentioning, he's critical of Prabhupada. He says the way Prabhupada taught us to observe Mangala Arati is incorrect. So I can't understand why anybody who understands Srila Prabhupada's teachings and wants to follow Prabhupada would want to go and get initiated by somebody who says that Prabhupada is wrong. This is an offense. He's committing offense against Srila Prabhupada. Who would want to get initiated by a guru aparadhi? Someone who's committing offenses against Srila Prabhupada. That's crazy. He directly, here's exactly what he said. And there's many things like this he says. Prabhupada taught us to sing Gravastakam prayers at Mangala Arati. It's confirmed. I have proof that Prabhupada did that. And I have documented historical evidence to prove that Prabhupada taught us, wanted us to sing Gravastakam prayers at Mangala Arati. And we all know that. That's what we used to do when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada engaged us in singing Gravastakam prayers at Mangala Arati. Now this other sannyasi you mentioned, he says, no, this is not correct. You're offering an arti to Gaura-Nitai. You should sing a bhajan to Gaura-Nitai. You shouldn't be singing a prayer to the spiritual master when you're offering an arti to the deity. He says it's wrong to sing Gravastakam. So who are we supposed to believe? If we believe this person, we have to reject the authority of Srila Prabhupada. You understand? This person, he very cleverly says, oh, Swamiji, he calls him Swamiji, he's very wonderful, he's very great. And then he turns around and says that he's wrong. He's playing tricks to attract people who are attracted by Prabhupada. And after he gets you in his net, then he injects the poison. And actually, Prabhupada has mistrained you. And I will train you properly now, you see. So he's presenting himself as a greater acharya than Srila Prabhupada, and that's what he's doing. Prabhupada was good, but I'm better. Because Prabhupada on some points didn't train you properly, and now I will train you properly. That's what he's doing. You can see just by looking at the lectures that the transcripts, it's not invention. I can show you. I can give you documented evidence of everything that I'm saying. I can back it up with documentation. So this person is envious of Srila Prabhupada, actually. Even though Prabhupada put a lot of faith in him, this person betrayed that faith that was put in him by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada similarly put faith in his other godbrothers. In the very beginning, he put complete faith in his godbrothers. He had some disciples who were in India. In the beginning, a few disciples came, and Prabhupada was not in India. So he sent these disciples to his godbrothers for training. And one of these godbrothers, he reinitiated Prabhupada's disciple as his own disciple. Do you understand? That's a great offense.
Yeah.
You see, and even this Swami that you mentioned, he is taking devotees now, they're giving up the name that initiated Prabhupada disciples, they're giving up the name that Prabhupada gave them, and they're taking the name that this other Swami gave them, and they're using that as their spiritual name now. That's the same as reinitiating someone. So this person is acting against Vaishnava etiquette. He's shown that he has a disregard of Srila Prabhupada. He shows he doesn't even understand Prabhupada's teachings. This person is actually creating a disturbance in the Vaishnava society. A great disturbance he's creating in many parts of the world. His followers came to my lecture I was giving in Exeter, England, and they challenged me publicly. Why are you not? You have all these students on your e-course. What is your problem? Why are you not sending them to this sannyasi? You see, they disrupted the whole Sunday program. You see, it's very. They are envious of Srila Prabhupada. They are envious of those who are strictly following Srila Prabhupada. So such persons, the Prabhupada warned us not to associate with the outside of ISKCON. And we see again and again and again why Prabhupada warned us not to do that, not to go outside of ISKCON for Siksha. Prabhupada is very strong. When Bhakti Chiruswami had some business to go outside to one of these other, for some technical question, Prabhupada is very concerned. You can ask Bhakti Chiruswami directly about this. He'll tell you exactly what Prabhupada told him. Prabhupada does not want us going outside because these people are envious. And they don't have the potency of Prabhupada. Prabhupada has been departed for 30 years and his movement is going strong all over the world. You should see in Moscow what kind of temple they are building. Incredible thing they are doing. You should see the temple in Auckland, how beautiful it is. It's unbelievable. I just came from Auckland. This movement is going strong, even though Prabhupada is gone for 30 years. These other people, like the Sanswami you mentioned, when he, after he disappears, his whole movement will be finished. Nothing will be left. Even now, they're not together. There's so many factions, even while he's physically there. He has some little charisma, you know, an Indian, elderly Indian sannyasi, and he talks some flowery words and flatters people and this and that, and they're attracted. But he turns around and then and speaks against Prabhupada in so many ways. So no, one should not go. In fact, I have people that I've been cultivating through the internet, and I told them, don't ever go to that other Swami because you're going to get misguided. But they went anyway because somebody invited them and they were curious. So they went there, they got initiated. One particular man in Florida, he got initiated. And then he started hearing what this Swami was saying in the lectures. And he realized that he was preaching against Prabhupada's books. And he had gotten first and second initiation from this Swami, and he realized he made a big mistake. And now he's rejected him. And he's taking me as his Siksha Guru, as his shelter. Because I'm connecting with Prabhupada. He realized he's actually rejected his initiating spiritual master because he realized he's not properly representing the Gaudiya Siddhanta. He's not properly representing the Gaudiya Siddhanta. I say strongly, no one should go to such person, this Swami, because he's envious of Srila Prabhupada. He's trying to steal Prabhupada's followers and make his own name and fame. And it won't last. It won't last. His so-called movement will be finished very quickly. But this movement of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is predicted to inundate the entire world and bring in the Vedic culture, full-blown Vedic culture. Yes.
With him in Puri, Vilachal Guruma, and
You know what?
I talked with him in the Nilachal Goryam of Puri.
You talked with that Swami.
Yeah. So
he's very good at talking very nicely in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's all, once you're in totally in his cab, then he injects the poison.
Within 10 minutes he told me about Gopi Bhav.
10 minutes, Gopi Bhav.
Yeah. Gopi Bhav.
Yeah. Just say. Instant Gopi Bhav. Yeah. Prabhupada warned us about this Gopi Bhav jumping. He said there's already enough monkeys, and within 10 minutes he was talking about Gopi Bhav. Just
yeah, he told me like that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with desiring to become a gopi. Now, I want to make it very clear to everyone, because we, every morning in the Tulsi prayers, we pray to become gopis. They criticize us for being male chauvinists, but actually, you know, in our prayers, every morning in our prayers, we pray to become women in the spiritual world. We're all begging to become women in the spiritual world, so no one can say we're down on women. Every morning, we pray to become women in our next birth in the spiritual world. It's not that we're against this idea of achieving Gopi Bhav. We pray for it in Tulsi worship every morning. But you have to go through it properly, through the 10 cantos. You don't jump immediately to the 10th canto. You have to go step by step to qualify yourself, to actually to regain your original identity in the spiritual world. You can't jump to it all of a sudden. If you try to jump to it all of a sudden, then it will kill you spiritually. You'll be dead. Prabhupada told us in one lecture, it was so nice, he said, a devotee should desire to see Krishna and speak with Krishna, but not like a sahaja, by qualifying himself by service, you see. So yes, to actually become a gopi in Krishna's pastimes, there's nothing wrong. But we actually take, our position is, whatever Krishna wants, that's all. However I can serve Krishna, it's up to him. Wherever I can please him. If he wants me to be a blade of grass, that's all right. If he wants me to be a cowherd boy, if he wants me to be a flute, I don't care. I'll be anything that he wants me to be. I'll be the rock that he sits on to take his lunch every day. I don't care. However I can serve Krishna, that's all I want. You see, that's the mood of a devotee. If he wants me to stay in the material world and preach, I'll do that too. I'm not attached to being this or that. That's a condition on my service, you see. That Krishna, I'll be your devotee if you let me be a gopi. That's not pure bhakti. The mood of pure bhakti is, whatever you want, my Lord, you are simply my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Study the Sikshastakam prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These 8 prayers by Lord Chaitanya, these are what you should study to understand the mood of pure devotional service. That will qualify you to regain your original spiritual form. Not some, you know, immediately jumping to Gopi Bhav sort of meditation. Yeah, this is the poison of the Radhakunda Babaji. It's immediately Gopi Bhav. It's like that girl who was having illicit sex at Govardhan and at Radhakunda and meditating on Gopi Bhav while she was having sex with that hippie boy, you see. Every night having illicit sex at Radhakunda and meditating on Gopi Bhav. And she got initiated by that Swami that you mentioned. She wasn't even following the regulated principle. She wasn't chanting japa, nothing. Cheap initiation, you see. So initiation should not be given cheaply like that. You have to become qualified to be the initiated disciple. You have to be chanting at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra every day in the japa mala beads. You have to strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Prabhupada said at least for 6 months, you must be fixed in these principles. And now in ISKCON, we've made it more strict. At least for 1 year, you must be fixed in these principles before initiation. 16 rounds of japa beads every day of Hare Krishna, and no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Otherwise, it becomes like Christianity. If we don't have these rules and regulations, if you can meditate on Gopi Bhava while at the same time you're having illicit sex and you're not even chanting any japa and it's okay, here's your diksha, then it's like Christianity. All you got to do is accept Jesus and you can do whatever you want. Then ISKCON just becomes another form of Christianity. Another cheating religion on the block, you know. You got the Baptists here, the Methodists, and the Hare Krishnas. Another cheating religion on the block. That's all. But this is not a religion in the sense of one of the other religions. This is religion in its original pure form. This is the essence of religion. To reconnect with the source of all existence, the Supreme Person. That's what we are doing here. We are not teaching another religion. Someone says, what religion do you belong to? You say, well, you've asked the wrong question, sir. There's no such thing as religions in this world. You've been misinformed. Your question is misguided. There's no such thing as different religions. Religion means to become a pure lover of the Supreme Person. That is religion. And that I am following. Yes. Yes. Religion is non-sectarian. Genuine religion is by its very nature non-sectarian. Genuine religion. As soon as religion becomes sectarian, it's not actually religion. Krishna says, Sarva Dharman, give up all this sectarian religion. Just surrender. Sectarian religion is not real religion. That's the point. Religion comes from the Sanskrit, Latin word, religare, which means to reconnect. You have to study these word origins. Religion, the English word religion, comes from the Latin word religare, which means to reconnect. So if you are connected with God, you're religious. If you're not connected with God, you're irreligious. It has nothing to do with this church, that organization, nothing of that sort. So religion by its very nature is nonsense. There's no such thing as sectarian religion and non-sectarian religion. No. Religion is non-sectarian by its very nature. Real religion. Any religion which is sectarian is not actually religion. It's irreligion masquerading as religion. That's all. You understand? Does it make sense? Yes. The caterpillar becomes the butterfly. Meditating on a certain rasa, you mean? That is there on an advanced stage. They're at a highly advanced stage, that is there. But one should not jump to that artificially. Yeah, there is such a thing. But that's a high level. One should not jump to that artificially.
Some exceptional cases we have seen that, that Mirabai in Vrindavan, he doesn't have any disciple success and connection or anything else.
Well, Prabhupada confirmed her pure bhakti. She is mentioned in Prabhupada's books. She is mentioned. She is celebrated in Prabhupada's writings. Yeah, we accept her as a great devotee. That's
it. So should we accept Mirabai that in our life? Maybe?
As, accept her as? Who said?
That's some Goswami, I don't know. That I have heard.
No, that story was, Prabhupada said that story was not correct.
It's not.
Because the Goswamis don't have any rule against meeting. They did not forbid women to meet with them. Prabhupada said that. I read on this point the story that she, it was Sanatana Goswami Arupa, that he said, I won't meet you because you're a woman, and she.
Yeah.
But that was, that's not a bona fide story because they didn't have that policy. They didn't have that policy. That's a bodily platform. They're willing to preach to women also. Prabhupada explains that. Yeah, that's not a true story. Yeah. There's so many examples. Sanat Prabhupada said that Sanatan Goswami, he was a marriage counselor in Vrindavan. I mean, people would husband and wife would approach him, and they with their marital problems, and he would decide who was right and who was wrong. If they had a marital dispute, they would go to Sanatan Goswami. Now the Goswamis had no policy against. They didn't have any anti-women policy. That's a false story that was going around. Yeah, not true. Prabhupada confirmed. I read that in the Veda Base just in the last several weeks. Prabhupada was asked about that, and he said it wasn't a true story about Mirabai. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, then. So, thank you all very much for so nicely hearing today. I appreciate that very much. Do you have a point? Yeah, tomorrow morning, everyone come from Mangalarti. We'll make it a joyous celebration. Actually, tomorrow is Independence Day in the U.S. So let's celebrate our independence from the modes of nature by being here at 4:30 in the morning and singing and dancing in ecstasy to celebrate our independence from the modes of nature by Prabhupada's mercy. This is real Independence Day. Tomorrow we'll have a 4th of July celebration here at 4:30 a.m. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your mayor, tell your governor, tell your President Bush. Tell everyone. We'll have tomorrow morning at 4:30 a.m. we're having a big 4th of July celebration right here at Mangalarti.
Every day should be,
yes?
Every day should be, you know, our 4th of July. Like, you know, every day should come Mangalarti, not a special day tomorrow.
Not only tomorrow, but every day. That's right. Not only tomorrow, that's right. Every day. Prabhupada confirmed that the Radha Krishna weren't here at that time, but when Prabhupada came, he went into ecstasy. Prabhupada could see directly, this is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He went into complete ecstasy. He lost external consciousness when he took the darshan of Radha Gornitai here. So these deities are very special. They've had a special rasa with Prabhupada, these big Gornitai deities. I came the next day. I missed that pastime. I regret that we came a day late. But the day when I was here, yes. The day I was here, I was standing by Prabhupada right there on his right side. And Prabhupada looked at the deities and he said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. So I looked at the deities and I knew that I couldn't see the same way that Prabhupada could see. But Prabhupada has confirmed that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are actually standing here on the altar. Those are not statues. That is the real Lord Chaitanya, the real Lord Nityananda, who appeared 500 years ago. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudariye Pushpavancho Chitrasanda Tamonuda. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda, who are just like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance of this age of Kali and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Yeah, and we had a special song class here. Prabhupada taught us how to sing this song. Padma Karuna Pohundujana Nitai Goda Chandra Vishaya Chadiya Seda Se Majiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari Baja Baja Vai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrida Vishvasha Kori. In this way, Prabhupada sang this song. I'm singing the same melody, the way, as close as I can remember it. I was here. That's how he taught us that song here. It was so amazing. We all sat here in complete rapture of just being captivated by Prabhupada's song class and learning how to sing this song from him directly. So that he said we should sing that song here every evening. I don't know if you all still do that. Like, I have the recording, the only known recording that exists in ISKCON of that song class. I'm going to try to have it mastered and sometime in the near future so it can be available to all the devotees. It's on a cassette, but try to get it on a CD. You know, the Prabhupada was teaching us. It was so wonderful. So anyway, it's a very special place here of Prabhupada's transcendental pastimes. Kindly dress Prabhupada more regularly. He looks a little like he's not, his clothes are not being changed often enough. Kindly take very good care of this Prabhupada deity. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.